okay, this is just us being massive old geeks and panderers. This is a clash between two great hip-hop icons. In the white corner, we have the biggest-selling rapper of all time, Mr. Marshall Mathers, the abused child turned hyperlexic polyrhyme weirdo.
I turned to rap cause it made me feel tough when I wasn't. From the moment I heard rappers cussing, I wasn't. Which is why I identify with the guy who I was embittered by. Dre's Frankenstein energized like a 9-volt. Ice cold like snake eyes, twice in a row on a dice roll. But if the only reason I blowed is cause I'm white, though why don't every other white rapper sell what I sold?
In the black corner, we have Melly Mel, the inventor of conscious rap, although someone would have got to it anyway.
The man who has remained exactly as relevant as he ever was, ever since about 1985.
The warrior poets, part gladiators, part priests, who came to contain the beast, to be the king to the east. Solid gold mics on the domes of the pharaohs, who chose to oppose those with the stolen souls and the cold bone marrows. Stages covered in sweat of legends, in subway walls and project halls that foresaw the hip-hop Armageddon. Blue versus red, street corners covered in lead, and littered with the bones of the unknown and the spiritually dead.
We'll absolutely take nothing away from the man's achievements and what he brought to the culture and to the music.
Absolutely.
But also, he's a jerk.
Yes. Cool Moe Dee wrote in his book, There's a God on the Mic, that he believed Melly Mel to be the greatest MC of all time. And it's not hard to see why. Melly Mel is a genuine talent. He has a gift for words. He was the one who took the visionary step of fusing this kind of conscious spoken word poetry music that was being done by people like The Last Poets and Gil Scott-Heron.
Me knowing me, black, proud, and determined to be free, could plainly see my enemy. Yes, 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 I know him. I once slaved for him, body and soul, and made him a pile of black gold off the sweat of my labor he stole.
With this party music that was coming out of the Bronx in order to talk about the social problems of the Bronx, that is one of the most important developments in all of hip hop. Again, like I said, someone would have got to it eventually, but like they didn't. And he still deserves all of the credit for that. The Message is a marvelous song.
Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she can tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a peep, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
So one of the problems with Melly Mel is he is a gigantic egomaniac, and this has always been a trait of him. He was already hating on new hip hop for not being conscious enough and ruining and cheapening his art by the time that Run DMC was showing up wearing Adidas instead of frilly disco costumes. Ever since then, his attitude has been one of increasingly strained fury at the position he finds himself in.
You know, back in the day when we first started doing hip-hop, it accomplished all things. We had fun with it, you know, it spoke to the people. You know, like if hip-hop would have just stayed on the course that it was, it would have been 3 Martin Luther Kings, it would have been 2 Malcolm X's. Now all you got is just a bunch of fake, lousy, illegitimate, gang-banging, pants-slobbing, low-life, drug-dealing punks. It's disgusting!
He sounds genuinely heartbroken. But the thing is, he rapped about those things too.
Stop chasing props, niggas. Top niggas march like the cops. Followed hot blocks, they pop, niggas. I ain't one of you niggas. I'm a pair of gators, you're a pair of Uggs. You ugly, but you comfortable, nigga. I'm the OG Ricardi, nigga. The diamond in the back, Cadillac black, pretty Ricky Maserati, nigga. The guard body, rock a party, nigga. That can socially distance your head from your motherfucking body, nigga.
The Pioneers have had a very tough time adapting to the changes in hip hop. And part of that is due to racism and economic situations and the general marginalization of hip hop as a genre, which has led to there not really being a market for old rappers. You know, there isn't a dad rap radio format in the way that there was a dad rock radio format, you know? People like Paul McCartney, he could get out of the Beatles, he could get into his 30s, he could form Wings, he could carry on making solo hits for decades and decades and decades, still being a major star. LA Mel, on the other hand, he fell into that time when hip-hop was evolving so fast that he was out of fashion a mere 3 years after he really got his feet in. Everyone still loves these guys, but they tend to show up more on records by the children who grew up listening to them, and more specifically, the white children.
Ooh, it's too real. Chrome down mirror, I don't need a windshield. Banana seat, a canopy on two wheels. 800 cash, that's a hell of a deal. I'm headed
downtown, cruising through the alley, tiptoeing in the street like ballet. Pulled up, moped to the valet. White walls on the wheels like mayonnaise.
I sent you a song by DJ Shadow on WhatsApp a minute ago, which has De La Soul rapping on it.
Yeah.
30 years and you can say we got
three turns.
Live off the board, unlike you and your chess man.
We installed out in you and your yes man.
But it's a dance record. It was made for like the white as fuck Radio 6 audience. It wasn't really designed to be part of the culture.
Ready? Ready? Are you set?
Set.
Then jump to the rhythm as hard as you can go.
Keep it steady, steady.
To the letter, right?
Bang.
Turn it up, y'all beat and flow. But can you rock it like rocket fuel?
What you talking about? Space out your mind.
De La Soul also were doing things like guest verses for Scroobius Pip on one of his remixes of Thou Shalt Always Kill. You know, you can't get whiter than that.
No. Melly Mel has been disappointed by hip-hop since his day with the consistency of a Doctor Who fan.
he's the hip-hop Ian Levine.
He seriously is, with the added bonus of having been an Ian Levine that kicked it all off. That creative stasis is going to define all of it. I saw an interview circulating.
This was Math Hoffer's podcast, and the guest was Method Man.
Melly Mel has shit on hip-hop after him. Like, he shit on a lot of people that came after him. And there are a lot of people, like myself, who are fans, who have been fans, who are still fans of Melly Mel. And to this day, when I see Melly Mel, I speak to him, but Melly Mel was rotten. There was an episode where he just passed me by, and my hand was out and all that shit. And I don't know if it was consciously done or if it was just done on some malice shit. I watch interviews and things of that, and Mel talk real fucking reckless, and it's like, yo, Mel, there are people, some of these people that you talking about fucking love you, man. Don't do that. If you the best, show
it. Melly Mel has made it his business in his muscled out old age to, whenever someone asks him what he thinks of anything to do with hip-hop, to give them a quote ready to be splashed clickbaity across the internet. And a lot of the old heads who don't want anyone to swear in rap, there's an undercurrent of nostalgia that Melly Mel brings with him. And there's a belief, I think, in some quarters that's always to be fought that the progenitors are the best that something could be. If they made it, if it was new then that's the height of it. And everything else, as Melly Mel would believe, is a step downwards. It's a slippery slope of trash. So for those who set store by the ancients, there's a kind of meeting of two very opposing views, particularly with what Eminem brings, with his love of language and all of the innovation that he's kept up with aggressively. Melly Mel was irrelevant in 2003. Our most recent or upcoming episode was set then. Eminem was a new guy. Eminem, now 20 years later, has made sure through his absolute love and adoration of this genre that Melly Mel had so much of starting to keep relevant through changing his style.
And if I don't got enough in the tank, maybe I can just siphon enough to fill up this last can. Man, will I survive in this climate or what? They said I was washed up and got a bloodbath. I'm not a rapper, I'm an adapter. I can adjust.
Keeping up with production.
You're gonna hate it no matter what it is. Yet you still click on it. Yeah, I want you to change, but don't change. I want you to grow, but don't age. I want the rage, but don't get too angry. I want the new, but old shady.
And vitally, making sure that young people are a big part of his artistic push as well.
Yeah, Eminem has a reputation in recent years for also being an annoying old head who doesn't understand the changes in hip-hop.
Anyone has any fucking ability to even stick to a subject is killing me. The inability to pin humility.
I think this is somewhat over-egged. His rapping style is considered by many commentators to be outdated. And since 2003, Eminem has gone from rapping nice, catchy lyrics like,
I'm a day away from my entire empire crumbling. Speak up, you're mumbling. What the fuck are you submitting? Okay, baby, this is shady. I know you was a bit open, we but would just go away, but we but maybe we but wobble, but we don't fall down like Jim after J's two turn table.
To rapping like,
lost in a ball of confusion, it's all an illusion. It's probably the shrooms I'm on, cause I think I started hallucinating. Cause I just thought I heard J Electronica and I do just new shit. And all I could do was follow the music and end up with Paula Abdul at Lollapalooza, filling water balloons with nail polish remover.
Someone who is certainly committed to being the most rapper. Technical virtuosity is incredibly uncool because technical virtuosity is the kind of thing that you can only do if you've got a lot of time alone in your bedroom to sit around perfecting what you're doing instead of going out to the club and talking to girls.
Yeah, you can see a magician do something, you're impressed, but you think, ah, yeah, but you had to sit around doing that for a long time to pull that off.
Personally speaking, I'm a massive fan of Eminem and I am one of the faction of Eminem fans who think in many ways he actually gets better as he gets older. Not always, but many of them. I love the artistic progression of him as he slowly moves into this kind of syllabic world that only he really lives in. It's also worth pointing out that despite this supposed tension between him and the young generation is still his primary demographic. He's always making music for people who are just a little bit too young to really be allowed to listen to it.
Now, I probably ruined your parents' life and your childhood too, because if I'm the music that y'all grew up on, I'm responsible for you retarded fools. I'm the supervillain dad and mom is losing their marbles too.
So just bagging on the youth isn't really his style. He certainly doesn't have a lot of nice things to say about Tekashi 6ix9ine, but very few people do. And it's worth pointing out that all these rappers who have the modern rapping style that has nothing to do with anything that he does.
I'm not God, baby. I don't forget, baby. My niggas in your crib, baby. They go real brazy.
I'm in pain. Wanna put 10 shots in my brain. I've been tripping about some things can't change. Switched all the same time, I'm tame. Put your diss in, begging a phone call. Girl that you fuck with, kill herself.
So, buddy in jail and somebody called. Collecting a bill or somebody boss. Laid off, don't stay in the bed. Hell nah, what the fuck you undid? All that stress and taking care of the kids.
Give us something that can take off the edge.
Same old sound, they go round spitting like an a-hole now. Who the fuck pays those clowns to act like an idiot and make those pounds? Feeling like I'm never gonna edge again, then again, feeling never shot of the adrenaline. Everybody come under the heavens and it's evident, evident, none of them irrelevant.
They all cite him as their primary influence. There's no other rapper who had the level of cultural reach that Eminem has had while also having the same love of the rhyme as a musical device in and of itself, in such a way that there's no way that you can hear those songs and not hear it. He makes words sound different after you've listened to him.
Yeah, he writes with the sound of words at the absolute forefront of what he does and the musicality of them as well. Because there's some people who would give you long rhyming polysyllabic deliveries, but there's something altogether less musical, altogether less concerned with his sound than he is.
We made freedom cry by watching Jim try to see in the eye. Fucking alibi, we was there on the balcony. A shot's blare, my vision was scarred. But we
Eminem, he's often criticized for not having much to rap about, which is partly because his early albums were made during a complete crisis in his personal life that gave him a lot of material to really scream at the world about. And now he's a middle-aged man who is basically very happy. At least as happy as Eminem will ever be.
There is something inside me that is a little more happy when I'm angry. As bad as it feels to be there, there's also something about it. There's a rush of it that I like.
He's got a family around him. He's got security. Everything's stable. Things are pretty good in Shadyland. And that gives him very little personal drama to draw from in his lyrics. But there's always still a kind of psychological element to his writing. There's always still a satirical element. There's always a narrative going on. Even songs which are just him rhyming together violent things that he's going to do to rival rappers, you still get get this sense of both the particular persona that he has, and there's this dialectical element that he always has, which is that you get the sense of the voices in his head heckling him, which he often argues with in his own songs.
There is such a appreciation of his craft. He's forever learning. He's forever evolving. And that is in direct opposite and juxtaposition to Melle Mel.
Yeah, Mel has unfortunately really turned into a museum piece. What's quite funny is Mel only actually has about 12 years on Eminem in terms of age.
I mean, this
is such an old man fight. It's like the ending of Metal Gear Solid 4.
This fire will spread across the world. The people will fight, and through battle, they will know the fullness of life.
We haven't actually discussed what this beef is about.
That does seem wrong.
We did mention that Melle Mel is famous for talking shit. He did an interview which was in response to a Rolling Stone article which listed their top 10 best rappers. And all these lists are stupid. They're all designed to make people argue. They shouldn't be taken very seriously. Eminem made number 5. Melle Mel said,
obviously, he's a capable rapper. If you was talking about sales, he sold more than everybody. If you're talking about rhyme style, okay, he got a rhyme style. But he's white. He's white. So now, if Eminem was just another nigga like all the rest of us, would he be top 5 on that list when a nigga that can rhyme just as good as him is 35? If I was white, nigga, I'd be greater than Elvis. Niggas be like, Melle Mel is greater than Elvis. Melle Mel is the greatest white man that has ever lived. He came up with a culture. He's a part of a culture that changed the whole world. But I'm not white. I'm one of the niggas. I heard one of the dudes that's down with him, Royce the 6ix9ine, I heard he's just as good as Eminem. Why ain't he as big as Eminem? Because he black. That ain't none of that shit hard to figure out. Eminem gets a top spot because he's white.
He mentioned that Royce da 5'9 was just as good a rapper as him, if not better. This is a bit of a meme that exists on the internet, and it's certainly not an opinion that I think is Melle Mel's own, because Melle Mel also seemed to be very confused about what songs Eminem made. He said that Eminem made a song called In Da Club, which... Yes.
Niggas heard I fuck with Dre, now they wanna show me love. When you sound like Eminem and the hoes, they wanna fuck.
It's a bit like your nan, isn't it? Like, where she thinks that that's just what rappers are called, they're Eminems.
It should be pointed out, although what he said about Eminem was more inflammatory, and therefore it made more headlines, he actually said worse things about the other guys. He said that nobody wants to rap like Kendrick Lamar, and he's had absolutely no influence. He said that Wayne just talks shit. He said that Jay-Z basically counts as white because of how rich he is, which is a very interesting read on class politics and something that a lot of Jay-Z's discography actually deals with far more sensitively than this.
Yeah.
Light nigga, dark nigga, faux nigga, real nigga, rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga, still nigga. Still nigga. OJ like. I'm not black, I'm OJ. Okay.
It surprises me that Eminem got mad enough to actually insult him in response to this, because he was being horrible to everyone. But at the same time, Eminem's whole career has been based on insulting celebrities, and it is legitimately exciting to see him responding to one of the guys who started it all, who in Eminem's mind deserve endless respect. His whole persona now is based on paying homage to his icons.
LL Big L and Dells, K Solo, Tretch and G Rap, DJ Polo, Tony D, ODB, Modi, Run DMC, and OG, Any PMD, DOC, IC, Evil D, King TUT, FO, and Scooby D, PE, and BDP, YZ, and
G. Ali, rock him and Eric B. They were like my therapy from B.I.G. in Paris. Three times open to a level C in P.R.T. In W.A. and E.C.E. in D.R.E. was like my GPS. Without him, I don't know where I'd be.
It really must have been quite painful for him to go against Melle Mel emotionally, considering he was one of Eminem's literally primary influences. There's footage of a baby Eminem at his rap battling in 1997. One of his space filler phrases that he used while trying to think up his next freestyle was,
ha 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 ha, I busted, ha 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 ha, 1, 2, ha 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 ha, I look.
Obviously referencing Eminem's diss to Mel wasn't even that bad. His diss suggests more this idea of sadness. You know, most of the verse on this song, which was with Easy Mill, who is a YouTube rapper who Eminem and Dre have recently signed to a label, and they're going to be cultivating him. Eminem's verse starts off criticizing the way that people downplay his accomplishments out of a sense of political correctness.
My skin color's still working against me. What? 'Cause second I should be the nun. Being white being why they put me at 5. Nope, it's why they can't put me at 1.
He knows that his white skin makes it easier for him to sell than any of his contemporaries. Things that he does that maybe he took from black rappers look more original than they are. It does lead people to overrate his ability. But it also, unfortunately, leads people to underrate him, because it's not good to have a white guy as the GOAT. So when he actually gets around to dissing Melle Mel, he does it in a verse where he points out that he has maximum respect for Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Shout to the Furious Five and Grandmaster Flash, but boy, there's someone who really is furious. Stay out his path, his wrath, avoid her. And I'll be the last to toy with a juice at whose brain is like half destroyed, like a meteor hit it. Well, then with Melle Mel, we lost his asteroid scale.
Although it's sort of based on a grown-up pun, I think there's quite a lot to that lyric. The imagery of the meteor creates this idea of this star that burns really bright for a minute and then comes crashing down to earth.
Totally.
And the fact that the steroids use was what Eminem chose to insult him for also feels quite classy, because it's almost as if the steroids serve as a whole stand-in for Melle Mel's fake macho persona. He's tried to do gangster rap because that was fashionable, even though his legendary status is because he used to be rapping about this basic indignity of poverty.
Broken glass everywhere, people pissing on the stairs, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise, got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, 'cause a man with the tow truck repossessed my car.
Rapping about being the toughest guy and how he can blow your head off, it's just not right.
My own security personnel in hell, there's a million skulls with Melle Mel stories to tell. I'm the illest nigga you ever saw, and when they send you to hell, he's a left for the devil. Tell him I'll send him one more trophy to set. Put your eyes in your shoes, 'cause you didn't choose to watch your step. And because you wrote fucked up rhymes, put your head in your ass. Now you got some hot shit on your mind.
The gun show, baby, the gun show, huh? The gun show, baby, the gun show, huh? The gun show.
Why did he do that? Why did he change his body like that? It's an insult, but mostly he's just sad that this guy he looked up to isn't who he was. I'm interested to see what Melle Mel's response to this is going to be. Melle Mel infamously had a rap battle with KRS-One in 1987, which KRS-One says he lost badly. He attempted to upstage KRS-One at a show by trying to rile up the crowd and get a bigger response out of them, which KRS-One pointed out was stupid because the people there had already paid to see him. And it also shows to Melle Mel's permanently outdated manner of time existence. It's just that in the very early days of rap battling, that was how it was done. He was doing crazy braggadocio, but he wasn't landing any attacks on his opponent.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, hit it! Boom, boom, pop, boom, 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 boom. Mel went first. He did this rhyme that I thought was pretty dope about sevens. He just was rhyming about seven MCs and seven this. Oh, and I got seven sevens and seven. And he was just doing this seven thing.
Unheard, right?
Unheard. It was just unheard. It was probably his new rhyme. So I don't know what it was. But it wasn't a battle rhyme. He was battling me, but
he introduced it with a...
With, you know, he was trying to be better. Like, it wasn't, you are this, and I'm going to do this to you. He tried to just be better on stage. Just like, you know, I'm going to outdo this. And somebody from the audience threw a chain at him. A bike chain.
Even in 1987, Melly Mel rejected the change in rap battling that had occurred in 1981 when Kool Moe Dee started insulting his opponent, Busy Bee Starsky.
He paid for the rhyme, asked for it twice. He said, Spoonie D, I'll buy it any price. When Spoonie finally sold it, oh, what a relief. Busy Bee stole it like a fucking thief. Came out rocking, the party's yours. Got everybody thinking that this time's yours. Every time I hear it, I throw a fit. Party after party, the same old shit.
Up until then, all a battle rapper was expected to do was to get the party going harder.
Tell me, what is it? What is it?
Melly Mel has denied this battle ever happened because he can't stand the idea of losing, which is just down to his massive ego, which is ultimately the product of his deep insecurities. Eminem is someone who also knows about having deep insecurities, but with him, it's more of like a spiteful, I'm gonna show you sort of thing. Yeah. I really don't have a lot of faith in Melly Mel, but I hope he does well because I think it is sad how the hip-hop pioneers got screwed over, and I think it would be great for the genre if he was able to parlay this into a comeback.
Yeah, that's exactly where I am. You know, I've seen headlines saying Melly Mel Ready's explosive response to Eminem's recent diss, and that would be so cool. You know, there's no reason, and I know there are rappers of Mel's age who are more than capable of ace. Keeping with the times, holding on to what was classic. You know, Dr. Dre is not that much younger than he. So I am rooting for Mel to land a couple of decent blows here. There's places to hit him. And the fact that he points out that Royce the 5'9 is good tells me that he's following hip-hop enough to know that there are spots for improvement here. I want to hear something good. Even if it's a tenth as good as White Lines, I'll be happy.
I want Melly Mel to lose. I want Melly Mel to go and make pop punk records. But at the same time, it's like, I do want him to do well. It's not fun watching a boxing match if someone is just beating the shit out of the other guy without him being able to fight back.
Totally. Should we check in, see how this goes?
Yeah, let's check in.
So Holly and I are going to play this twice silently, and then we're going to come back and discuss what we think.
Okay, see you on the other side.
It's the one!
No apologies, this ain't a disclaimer. I'm the king of legend, the first Hall of Famer. Making diss tracks, I know you with that. Now everybody get ready for the kickback!
Well, okay.
Wow. Okay, so that sucked. But I would be lying if I said I didn't love it.
Oh, exactly.
It sucked in a really brilliant way.
Thing is, I said I wanted to hear him land some blows, and he actually did. There's some good lines in there, Holly. Some of them, I think, are entirely accidental, unless there's someone, you know, in his family who's pointed things out. I can't help but think the reference to an elevator.
Flash, the top five is cap. You the piss just on the floor in the elevator of rap.
Is going to Eminem's continual referencing the fact that he's got an elevator in his house.
I think that's a reference to one of Mel's attempts to make a sequel to the message, M3.
But I don't like the neighbors, and I wish I could find out who's always pissing in the elevator.
The same song is part of Mel's crusade against what he considers to be unconscious lyricism, so it's not hard to see the idea of the piss in the elevator as a reference to the rappers who were bad influences.
Shorty, listening to 50 Cent CD, no one's deeper than the ABCs, believing they could be OGs.
But at the same time, it's the same idea of the rotting Bronx apartment where the message began, with the staircase that stunk of piss. A lot of other stuff was said in Realist about Lord Jamar's statement that white rappers are guests in the House of Hip Hop. If the House of Hip Hop were a real building, it'd have to be 1520 Sedgwick Avenue.
I liked that he referred to him as Pee Wee Herman. I thought that was a good get at the combed over black hair.
Why they put Pee Wee Herman in the Hall of Fame?
And timely, considering Paul Reubens' recent death.
The Hall of Fame, I thought it was ironic that Mele would say that, because Eminem's entire speech was just given out to everyone who came before him and given, you know, props to them.
MC Breed, MC Light, MC Shan, Melly Mel, Merciless Amir.
I liked the line that he's got a lawyer so white that he'll take your land.
I would give you a pound, but I prick your hand. I got a lawyer so white, he will take your land.
That's very good. Yes, calling Eminem a nerd, it's pretty gentle. But all the schoolboy references, while they do fit Eminem's man-child persona.
Why you mad? Now you look bad. Like a roach just crawled out of your book bag. In a packed class, you lack class. Go to bed with no supper, cause you gotta suffer the backlash.
It just reinforces the fact that this is a 60-year-old man dissing a 50-year-old man for being a youngster. When Eminem was in his physical and commercial prime, I was too young to listen to his music. And now I'm like a proper adult who pays taxes and shit. Melly Mel is incredibly fucking old. No offense to the old people who listen to this podcast. He's just old spiritually, you know? I think you can be older than him and younger. Pee Wee Herman is quite a fun reference in that it's not just his nerdy cartoon whiteness, but also the fact that Eminem did in fact imitate Pee Wee Herman. He dressed up as him in his video for Just Lose It.
Right now, lose it. Just lose it.
I think also a very strong blow is actually, why you ducking on the game when you shit on my name?
Why you ducking on the game when you shit on my name?
Referring to Eminem's previous, I don't want to call it a beef because it wasn't. The Game dissed Eminem entirely to get attention. The thing is, the song is good. As a piece of writing, as a piece of music, it's very good.
How your day went? Did you re-dye your beard or get another facelift or do shrooms in your mom's basement until you nod and see spaceships and the aliens inside it come and tell you your talent's wasted? Then you wake up and you ain't shit. I know you fiending for a Dr. Dre basic. How ironic. And add it in the basement and now I chronic because I didn't had it with the fake shit. You never understood Ebonics or Cadence.
The trouble is that the Game had no reason to beef with him, and he later sheepishly admitted that the song was just a tribute anyway after Eminem completely ignored it, as he should have done, because the Game only wanted attention because he had to pay an enormous bill to a woman he sexually assaulted.
Could also be quite relevant to Melly Mel, with all this attention taking attention away from his recent domestic violence charge. I think that one of the things that's good about this as well is that his delivery style seems to have been very slightly updated. It's gone from 1980 to about 1986. You know, he sounds like one of Run DMC on this.
I do enjoy the unapologetic old schoolness of this. There's something about how his cheesy old 808 beats actually do reflect the sound of modern hip hop more than the boom bap, I guess. The problem, though, is that there's massive gunshot noises that are mixed really, really horribly, and it's difficult for me to even hear what he's saying.
Which isn't too bad, because there's bits about him taking another pill, Clinton, pill Gates, which are utterly pathetic as puns. He's trying to do wordplay. Yes. That's entirely beyond it.
Check your man, come and look at your friend, because I think that Eminem's popping pills again. We call him Pill Clinton or either Pill Gates. What pill did homie take to make him hate the great?
It's also just very unconvincing.
I don't necessarily know if he even knew that Eminem was in recovery. It could just be that Eminem is the rapper who takes pills, and that's how he first crossed Mel's, you know. Also, the diss of Melly Mel comes in the middle of an extremely cogent and well-reasoned and extremely well-crafted set of lines.
I am a guest in this house, but I turn this bitch to a mansion. That's an expansion, made it gargantuan. England, Germany, France, and Japan's in this bitch, even Dubai. Because my music, they do buy. You died trying to scientist to psychiatrist. Could not unscrew my head up the blue-eyed devil. I never quit, do I?
And the last time that Eminem was on drugs, we got things like Big Weenie.
All right, now I just flubbed a line. I was going to say something extremely important, but I forgot who or what it was. I fucked up. Psych, I'm kidding again, you idiot. No, I didn't. That's just what you wanted to hear from me, is that I fucked up, ain't it? But I could bust one take without looking at no paper.
Which, of course, had its own point to make, but it came from a sillier, rather less inhibited place than you'd get from his current work. There's zero evidence, as far as I'm concerned, that he is indeed back on pills.
There's also just like some really dreary and very old school filler here.
Hit a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah. Really? It's like having that amount of dead air. It's not 1982.
And this isn't a 7-minute track. This song is 1 minute and 12 seconds. And by kind of section 45, I am looking for the exit.
I love that this exists, though. Can we just appreciate how surreal this is?
Yeah. No, this is crazy. It wasn't on my bingo card, I'll tell you that much.
We also need to point out the homophobia, seeing as it's a very Eminem relevant topic. Mm-hmm. But he can't even really commit to the bit.
Yeah. I'ma give your fans one more chance to go online and re-energize that bromance. After that, say your last goodbye. Cup of four, put Matthew's lights out. I'm turning off his fucking Wi-Fi. Another little kid, don't hate the great.
But he compares it to Matthew, who is, of course, the kid brother of Stan in Eminem's stories.
But you could have signed an autograph for Matthew. That's my little brother, man. He's only 6 years old. We waited in the blistering cold for you. 4 hours and you just said no. That's pretty shitty, man. You're like his fucking idol. He wants to be just like you, man. He likes you more than I do.
Matthew in Bad Guy, when he reappears in the 2010s, is heavily implied to be gay.
To the core plan, dragged to the back of a trunk by one of your fans. Irony spectacular, huh? Now who's a faggot, you punk? And here's your Bronco hats. You can have that shit back because they suck.
He evokes Matthew in order to suggest the idea of his annoying little kids on the internet who are cheering him on. But he won't even call it a romance. He calls it a bromance, which is just cowardly. If you're trying to piss people off and you can't even work up the courage to call them gay, if you're trying to piss off the most famous homophobe in pop music and you can't even work up the courage to call him gay.
It's almost without content, this song. He has 3 things to say and he runs out of them remarkably quickly.
Eminem put out Curtain Call 2 in order to draw a line after the uneven period of his career where he was relearning who he was. This suggests that what he is going to be doing after Curtain Call 2 is going to be a brand new artistic project. Something that I don't think a lot of people feel that he perhaps is capable of, including Eminem himself, completely trapped in his own legacy, in references to his own past, in his own mythology. However, it does seem like this would be a very satisfying, logical conclusion for Eminem's career as a final arc, for him to be going around fighting all the pioneers of the genre. If the first phase of his career was Christina Aguilera sucks dick, and the second phase of his career is respect to the greats, they made me who I am, then it makes sense for the last phase of his career to be the greats suck dick.
Sure. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. You're absolutely right, Holly. That's the way to go.
Like poetry, it rhymes.
And of course his career would have to fucking rhyme. All right, mate. Well, I will say goodbye to you for now. Thank you, listeners, for joining us on this. And catch up with regular pop should never save us soon.
Thank you very much.
But you want to battle with us, son? You want to battle, huh?
You want some of this, huh?
Yeah, you want some battling? Come on now.
Nah, Grandmaster Rap, Kid Shazam, I don't want to battle. You guys started it all. I'm just here to say that maybe I should clean up my act and start rapping about throwing my hands in the air.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Hit it. We'll wrap you up and we'll wrap you down. We'll let our lyrics beat you down. They're gonna do it, do it, do it. We're gonna rap, rap, a rip it, rap, a rip up, rip it, do. Come on, Grandmaster Rap,
and I'm Kishes out.
A rip up, rip it, do. Hit it, boy.
Well, I'm Eminem and I'm here to say I love to rap in an old school way that goes rip, rap, a rip it, rap, rap, a rip up, rip it, do.
James, I just realised that line that we both agreed was clever, which was, I got a lawyer so right, he will take your land. He's basically comparing Eminem to black people, which, considering what they're actually beefing over, it makes it terrible. He's literally comparing Eminem to, like, South Africans under apartheid.